James chapter 3, verse 20. I'll try to preach to you pretty fast and go ahead and preach the message. And you listen fast. I always say you listen fast. I'll preach fast and we'll get you to the end. Might preach through choir practice, but that'll be all right. Ephesians 3:20. And the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Heavenly Father, we thank you for these testimonies we heard this morning from the ladies that were at the advance. And we do thank you for Brother Vaughn and Debbie, Lord, and the work that they do in that area to encourage Christians and revivals in churches. And Lord, us just living the life that you intended for us to live. I pray, Lord, that'll continue on, Lord, and start a fire right here that spreads throughout the church community. And Lord, who knows, cap to what could be done for those of us that put our trust and faith in you. So you have your will and way in our service now. Use me, Lord, to preach and speak. You speak to hearts. Lord, we know nothing's accomplished without you, and we'll trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got the title of the message today is Life Potential, and then I got in parentheses a stink bug life. I shared this with my Wednesday night group one time. I said, man, I had this profound thought about a stink bug that I actually had killed him by throwing him in the fireplace. But anyway, and I'll share that with you in just a few minutes about why I got that on there. I was looking reading about, in the encyclopedia, if you look up anything about Israel, you'll find out some amazing facts about Israel. It has practically, I'm talking about the nation of Israel, it has practically no natural resources, imports more goods than it exports. Yet it has a very high standard of living. More than 90% of the population in Israel today is literate. They can read and write. And it has a very low unemployment rate. It's very poor in energy resources, though. Has no coal. And I find this amazing. I never thought about this that much. But it only has a very small amount of oil and natural gas. You know, and Israel's over there in the middle of all those other nations that have a lot of that. But it has a very small amount of oil and natural gas. Former Prime Minister of Israel, Golda Meir, once said, kind of tongue-in-cheek, she said that Moses wasn't a very good leader. He led our people to settle on the only piece of real estate without any oil of all the places they could have landed. Now, I told you that little story. I'll share something with you about that later on in the message. The very first point I want to look at today is life potential. Life potential. We know this here. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. We're all aware of that. We have funerals like they're going out of style sometimes and through stretches. And we know this, that there's a definite day we were born. We know what our birthday is. And we know there's a definite day that we'll die one day. But I want to ask you this question right here in a way. Do we have any control over how long we live? Do we have any control over how long we live? Job 14:5 says this, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." Now I want to say this to you in a way. There's nothing that man can do to change a part of that, to change our days without God. But I'm going to tell you something. God can change it on the one end, and we can change it on the other. You know, let me ask you this. If we don't have anything to do over a number of our days, can you shorten your life? Yeah. Go up to Empire State Building, jump off, and I'll pretty much guarantee you your life's going to be a lot shorter than it would have been if you hadn't have jumped off the Empire State Building. You'd jump off a cliff. Let me tell you something. Smoking, you know, it'll shorten your life. I believe it shortens your life. Drink alcohol, do drugs, overeat, don't exercise, don't honor your parents, which is the Bible. I'll look at that verse in a little bit. Don't honor your parents. Try to stand in the way. Here's a deeper one here. Try to stand in the way of something significant that God is going to do and see if that won't shorten your life just a little bit. Remember old Achan? Achan, he shortened his life up a little bit by standing in the way of something God was trying to do. Ananias and Sapphira, and God was starting the church in the early days of the church. They kind of almost stood in the way with an attitude or a thought about lying about something, and God shortened their life for that. And so all these things, pretty much, most of these things will guarantee, although there are some anomalies there with some of the things, to shorten your life. But let me ask you the question. So we know that we can shorten our life. Let me ask you this. Can you lengthen your life? Can you lengthen your lifespan? Well, I said before, not without God, but you can have a part in lengthening lengthening your life? I'm going to say the answer to that is yes. I already mentioned honoring your parents. Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, you might want to look at that in the negative and say, well, yeah, that would apply to shortening your life. If you don't do those things, you could shorten your life. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't want to honor my parents because I got sorry parents. But see, the command doesn't say honor your parents if they're perfect parents, because there aren't any. It just says honor your parents. It doesn't matter whether they're sorry or not. They will answer to God for being sorry parents. You will answer to God for not honoring your mother and your father. And so you can lengthen your days by honoring your parents. Here's another way you can lengthen your days. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. In regards to wisdom, Proverbs 3:16 says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor, in talking about wisdom. Keeping God's commandments, 1 Kings 3:14, and if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. God says, listen, if you keep my commandments, if you obey my commandments, which, by the way, would be tied in with wisdom, it would be wise to do what God tells you to do. If you would obey God, then he said, I will lengthen your days. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart, I like that, let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, you can keep God's commandments with your body physically, but not keep them in your heart. And there's a difference in doing that. That's another message. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Shall they add unto thee. This is an amazing thing. Another way you can add length to your life is take care of your body. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, and there's many ways to do that, by the way, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Take care of yourself. That'll add length to your days. Here's another one. Here's a good one. Ask God to live longer. When I was a little kid, and I don't know if I was really asking God about it, I remember talking about it. I remember I said, I just thought it was neat. 100 was a number I had. I said, man, it'd be neat to live to be 100 years old. Of course, I didn't know. When you're a kid, you don't know about achy bones and arthritis and, you know, and all that other stuff, your teeth falling out. And, you know, but I thought, when I know a lady that's 105 right now. And I said, you know, I'd like to live 105. Remember old Hezekiah in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 38? God said, listen, man, Hezekiah, he said, get everything in order. You're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, the Bible says, and he wept bitterly, and he asked God, he prayed to God that he would give him 15 more years. And guess what? God gave him 15 more years. You know what Hezekiah also did? God, he gave God a reason to add 15 more years to his life. He said, listen, I've walked in truth. I've had a perfect heart, which means a mature heart. And he wasn't living perfectly. And he said, I've done that which was good. And, you know, God gave him 15 more years. God didn't give him 15 more years to live a riotous life, by the way. But he gave him 15 more years to live and to serve him. That's the great thing about the lady that I was telling you about, 105 years old. And Jamie, you know her, and Sherry and I, Hazel Hager up at the nursing. Man, Hazel, that woman there. She said, you know, I'm gonna be a witness. She's 105 years old. She said, I'm going to be a witness for God. God's got me down here for a purpose. Here's a 105-year-old saying, God's got me on earth for a purpose. And she witnesses to people, and she talks about people, and talks about God to people, man. She said, you know, I've got a purpose here, and I think long as she's got a purpose. God, listen, when you don't have a purpose that's serving God, you know, you're in danger. You know, right off the bat, if you're here doing something for God and he needs you to do it, you're going to, you know, nobody can kill you. You know, you're immortal in that time. The atheist Voltaire on his deathbed told the physician that he was forsaken by God and man. I find it hard to believe that. This is what he said, but, you know, why would an atheist say he's forsaken by God? Because the atheist is saying he doesn't believe in God, but when you get on your deathbed, things change. And he said he would give listen, this is kind of comical in a way. He said he would give the doctor half of all he was worth if the doctor could save him or give him 6 more months is what he asked. He said, I'll give you half of all I'm worth if you just give me 6 more months. Well, listen, if you're going to die, you don't need half of all you were. You don't need the other half, you know, let's just go for whole. And he asked him that. But guess what? He died. He died. You know why? Because number one, he asked the wrong person. And number two, he asked for the wrong reason. And when he did die, he left it all behind, not half of it. He left everything behind. Listen, God gives us power to shorten or lengthen our life. I want you to see that. The second thing is God gives us power to diminish or enlarge our life's potential. This is more like on the line of what I want to talk to you about. God gives us the power to diminish or enlarge our life's potential. Or and when you think about life's potential, I mean it in this way, our impact for Him. Our impact for Him. You know, when we're born, I think when we're born, we are meant to do something. We're just meant, you know, we're just, listen, we're not like, and this is where we're going to get to the stink bug here in a minute. We're born for a purpose. And it's not just to suck up air and take up space and live our life and maybe have kids and then die and that's it. There's more to life than that. I shared this with Wednesday night, so they know about the stink bug illustration. You know them aggravating things, man. I know there's got to be a purpose for them things. I just don't know what it is. You know, besides messing up your drapes and those things, and they stink. But I saw one, you know, and I had a good roaring fire in the fireplace, and I got no mercy on them, man. I just opened up the door, which, you know, is a pretty quick death. I opened up the door, and I chunked that stink bug in there, and them old hot bed of coals, you know, popped. And I sat down, and I started having a, you know, profound thought about the stink bug. I said, yep, he was born. He lived his life for whatever purpose it is, and I do not know. I don't know if they eat mites or something. I know there's some scientific something to it. Must have a lot of mites around here, is all I can tell you. And I threw him in there, and he's gone. And life is still going, just like it's always going. And that hasn't affected one thing, other than there's one less stink bug in life. And I was thinking about that life there, that whole little stink bug life. Didn't affect me other than aggravation, other than, and he didn't really aggravate me till right there at the last, just for a second. You know, but what difference did his life, you know, you guys didn't know one thing about it. And your life didn't change one iota whether I snuffed that stink bug out or I kept him alive or not. It didn't make no difference. What changed after it was gone? What did he accomplish? I don't know. Nothing. But listen, here's where it applies to us. I started thinking about our life. If we don't accomplish anything for God, our life isn't any different than a stink bug I threw in the fireplace. You're going to be born. You're going to live your life. You're going to die. And one day your life's going to end. And what did you? And anything you accomplish, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, you can raise good families and you ought to do that. You can raise good families, you can do this, you can be nice to your neighbors, and you know, all down the line. But you know, all that stuff's going to pass away, everything's going to perish. The only thing that's going to remain is what you do for God. And anything we do that's going to perish, it's just like the life of that stink bug. It's over with. You know, you go through cemeteries, sometimes you see all the tombstones, and I don't go out of my way. I'm going to drive to a cemetery and look at tombstones. I don't do that. You know, I'm not that weird. But when I am walking around in a cemetery, I do look at the grave. I will look at the dates. I'll look at their name. And, you know, you might know somebody with a last name sometime. You know, you go to different places, and I see when they were born and died. And sometimes I noticed one time when I was hunting in Grayson County, there was some graves, and the guy was actually a reverend. He was a preacher, and it was his family, and the church was over there. And it was way back in, like, 1700s. And I was looking at the names and the dates on there, and, you know, some of them didn't live very long. Back then, like, scarlet fever and stuff like that would kill people, you know, different diseases that we don't deal with as much today. Polio and things like that even, but I was looking at them, and you just wonder about their life now. You know, you read names sometimes, and you just think, you know, they lived, they died. Do I know them? No, I don't know them. Did they do anything? I don't know. I mean, I don't know about it. Now, you do something for God, God will know about it, but, you know, that's it. I mean, that's it. But you know what? While we're living, we have the power, or we can enlarge our testimony for Christ, or we can diminish it. You know, we can do nothing for God, or we can do something for God. We can do a little bit for God, or we can do great things for God. You know, that's in our power to do it. We can enlarge our testimony, or we can diminish it. I talked about physical life a minute ago. It's not set, static, and predetermined. That's what we saw. It's not set. I mean, you do have a birthday, and you do have a dying day, and no matter how your life ends, I know God knows what it is because He's omniscient. But your life is not static. You can, according to the Word of God, you can add length to your days. Hezekiah did it. people that honor their parents do it. You can shorten your life by not taking care of yourself, by doing stupid things, you know, by not obeying God's commandments. You can shorten your life. So it's not a set, static thing. Now let me get you to the spiritual side of things. Or your spiritual life is not set, static, and predetermined either. You can grow. You can have a spiritual life bigger than the one you have. You can. It's not a set thing that this is all that there is. This is all of Christianity and all of God that I'm going to experience, that I'm experiencing now. There's more out there to be had. There's more that we can enjoy and we can do great things with God. We have the potential to grow into a spiritual giant. I was thinking about that commercial. I think it's a Geico commercial. It may not be. I don't hardly have to pay attention to them. Where the guy says that Pinocchio is not a very good motivational speaker. And he says, "When I look around this room, all I see is potential. You have potential." And his nose gets a little... "You have potential." I don't want you to think that it's Pinocchio telling you that you have potential, but you do. You see, you do, because when you're saved and the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in your heart, you know, we can have more of what God has for us. We have the potential to grow and to be a spiritual giant. Well, how are we going to do that? Third point, how are we going to enlarge our potential? Number one, ask God. We did that about enlarging increasing our days. Ask God. 1 Chronicles 4:10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And it says, "And God granted him that which he requested." See, when he said, "Enlarge my coast," what he was really asking was that God would increase his life's impact. His life's impact. You know, because I think everybody, that's not a static thing. Everybody has, you have some kind of impact on people. Maybe minimal. Maybe negative, could be positive. And you know, it could be just positive in a moral way, but you have the power within you, you have the ability to increase your impact on people for God. You know, that is something that is within you. When we look at Esther, in the book of Esther, she was just a Jewish girl, and of course she was taken into the king's palace and she became the queen, but she was a Jew and nobody knew it. And then old Haman, he had it out for the Jews, and he got the king to sign a decree, and they were going to have all the Jews put to death. And in Esther 4:14, her uncle, Mordecai, he said to her, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know, Esther, she had, and so she went into the king's presence, which was a risky thing in those days. If you went to the presence of the king without being called, you could be put to death for that. If you came to the king's presence and he held the scepter out to you, then everything was okay. And he did. And she went to him and she told him everything she needed to tell him and ended up saving the Jews, the Jewish people. And of course, the implications of that is the line of Christ later on down the road. It also saved in her life. But see, what happened was her actions brought deliverance and enlargement to the Jewish people, which also increased Esther's life potential and enlargement herself. She had the ability. It was within her, determined by your actions. I said a few minutes ago about the comments that Golda Meir made about Israel and the fact that Moses led them to the only place of real estate didn't have any oil. You know that Israel never possessed all the land that God intended? 90% of the land had not been possessed in Joshua's day. They'd only have possessed 10% of what God had for them. 10% of what God had for them. If I had a map and I didn't get all that slicked up, I could have had like Eileen like bringing a map up and I had a little pointer. I could pretend I'm doing this. If I had a pointer, I could point on there and show you a map of Israel and show you everything around Israel that they could have had if they had possessed all the land that God intended for them to have. They would have had one half of Jordan, part of Saudi Arabia, one third of Iraq, one half of Syria, and all of Lebanon, if they had taken all the land that God said, "Listen, this is what you're going to have to take." Keep that in mind. I got another point that goes with this in a minute. But an application I want you to see is for us is this. that most of us have not taken or do not have most of what God wants us to have in life. We don't have most of what God. It reminds me, there's a t-shirt out there. It's funny as all get out. I like it. If I ever see one, I want to buy one. If you see one, buy me one and I'll pay you for it. Said, I was born with nothing and I still have most of it left. Anybody ever seen that? That's a funny shirt, man. I just crack up every time I say, I was born with nothing and I still have most of it left. That's pretty much how we are in our spiritual life, or the life that we have, the potential that we have for God. Most of it, we don't have it. Most of it, we're not exercising. You know, we just have very, very little. Listen, and I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus Christ a specific time, a day, I remember the day I got saved. I know it was a Thursday. I don't remember the time. I know it was in August. I don't remember the date. Sherry might know that I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and come. I know it. Wasn't just something that was kind of abstract out there. Yeah, I'm saved, but I can't remember. You know, I remember the event, you know, when I asked Christ to come into life. A lot of baggage. You had to deal with all that. Listen, if you're not saved, you don't have anything that God has for you in life. Huh? You don't have anything that God has for you. Let me ask you this question. Are we accomplishing all of our potential for God? Angela said no. Are we accomplishing all of our potential for God? No. What about you, preacher? You're pastor in a church. I'm not accomplishing. I haven't scratched the surface of my potential for God. I know it. What does God convict you of? Laziness. Laziness. Man, I ought to do this and I ought to do that. But, nah, I don't feel like doing it, or I got something else I'm going to do. That's the truth. That's the truth. Caleb was still going hard for God at 85 years old. Moses was good, didn't even start doing anything for God till he was 80 years old. And I know somebody's thinking, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting till I get 80 and I'm going to start doing something for God. You might shorten your life potential by shortening your lifespan by doing that. Another way to enlarge your life's potential is this. Make your calling sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Listen, as a Christian, we have a general calling. Listen quick. I'm going to speed up through some of this. We have a general calling. We're called to be a child of God. We're called to be an ambassador. We're called to be a witness for Christ. We're called to be a soldier in God's army. This is every Christian. We are a commissioned soldier, by the way. We have a great commission. Go ye into all the world to preach the gospel. We're called to pray. We're called to do good. All those things, there's more to that, I'm sure. Being faithful is our general calling, and that'll help us to determine our specific calling. And now I want to get to this. How does a person determine a specific calling from God? That God has something specific for you. What is it? Well, several things you can look at. The specific needs of people around you. The era in which you live. We're living in this time right now. By a responsibility assigned to you by somebody, maybe your pastor or something like that. A word from God, just where He speaks to your heart. A blessing upon what you're doing, if you're doing something for God. Maybe just burdens for a particular people or thing from God. Taking the opportunity that God gives you, no matter how small or how big they may be. A direct call from God, like several people in the Bible had. The definition of a life's call is this: a specific assignment from God for you to minister to a particular group of people. Got that? This is the definition of a life's call. A specific assignment from God for you to minister to a particular group of people. See, everybody, a lot of people today, they just want God. They want God because they want God to do something for them. They don't look at it like, listen, God's going to do something for me, and that thing He's going to do for me is He is going to empower me to minister to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you, think, well, man, that's work. Yes, it is. But I'm going to tell you something. When you minister to somebody else, it's a blessing to you. Huh? It's a blessing to you. You get excited about ministering to somebody else. Listen, God's not up there for us. We're down here for Him. Huh? He didn't make us for so He could be up there and be a Walmart in the sky to take care of every need we have. Listen, God made us to serve and worship Him. And listen, service is such a negative thing, but serving God is going to give you joy and contentment and happiness and peace and a lot of other things right there. Listen, the calling doesn't change, but we can diminish or enlarge it. Jesus was rejected by the Jews, but guess what? He reached out to the whole world. He enlarged His calling. Joseph, he was called to save his family, but in so doing, he saved several nations, including Egypt. He enlarged his ministry. Listen to this point. This is a good point. A calling in life is much more about to who than to what. to who you were called to. Some are called to foreign lands, some to youth ministry, young couples, married couples, elderly, orphans, handicapped, drug and alcohol addicts, poor, divorced, unwed mothers, music ministry, minister to people in the ministry. There's people that are called to ministry, minister to people in the ministry. They minister to pastors and evangelists and people that are involved in the ministry. That's a certain calling. A person's not going to be recognized by their work, but by their calling. You get me there? A person's not going to be recognized by his work, but by his calling. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. That's not what we know Nehemiah for. We know Nehemiah for being called to help the remnant rebuild Jerusalem. Paul, you know what Paul's job was? Everybody knows about the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. That's what we know him by, because that was his life's calling. You know what he was by profession? No, a tent maker. Huh? Tent maker. How many tents is around that Paul made? Ain't none of them. That's what I tell you about talking about something not lasting. How about the Word of God? How about the books that Paul wrote in the New Testament? The testimony of Paul is still around because he did it for God. Peter was called to be a fisherman. All them fish that Peter caught, gone by the wayside, bones gone. Everything's done. Wasn't nothing. Wasn't much to it. Well, that was a stink bug life there ever was one. He was called to be a fisherman, but guess what's lasting? Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to be a pastor. Peter was a pastor. Make your calling and election sure. Another way to add to find your calling is to pursue wisdom. Proverbs 3:18, in reference to wisdom, he said, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Another way to find your calling is respond properly to the trials of life. Trials are allowed by God, and they are meant to be understood. Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." There's two Greek words for time. One is chronos, and that means minutes. Time like we know it. Like you're saying, yeah, preacher, you're preaching way past time. That's chronos. There's kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. That means an epic event in your life, a season or an opportunity. Now, this is important. This is the word that's used here, redeeming the time, an epic event in your life, a season or an opportunity. A trial is an opportunity to increase or diminish your life potential. Let me tell you something, Satan, when a trial comes in your life, Satan tries to get you to waste that trial and then and to turn it around to either a pity party or to blame God there, because he knows if in an opportunity to increase your life potential, if you increase your life potential for God, it's another a battle that he's not going to win. And then the fourth thing, how to diminish your life potential. How to diminish your life potential, and I'll go through this quick. Take up offenses. Don't respond properly to trials. Become bitter. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely my sanctuary with all thy detestable things." This is Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Ezekiel 5:11. "Things that with all thine abominations, therefore, will I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity." Listen, take up with abominable things in your life and allow abominable things in your life. I'm going to tell you something. That's going to diminish your life potential. The richest blessings in life are reserved for those who take all God has for them and then ask for more. God, as Jabez said, God, he said, "Enlarge my coast." I'm almost done. That story about Israel and the land that they didn't possess. Remember all the land that I told you that they would have had? You know, they would have had, like, they would have had all of Lebanon, they would have had half of Syria, they would have had part of Saudi Arabia, they would have had half of Iraq. Well, guess what? If they had took all the land, and when you look on it, you have to see it on a map. If they had took all the land that they were supposed to take, guess what? They still wouldn't have any more oil than they have now. Because all those areas on the map are parts of those countries that don't have any oil either. They still wouldn't have had any oil. Well, that doesn't sound right. But think about this. If they had taken everything that God had for them and then said, "God, enlarge my coast." And boy, I really need a map to really illustrate this. But if you look at the map, if you took everything in that God had for them and see where they were, and then they said, "God, enlarge my coast," they would have controlled the majority of the financial world today just by the oil that they would have had. If they had got everything God had for them and then asked God to increase their impact in life. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you have everything that God wants for you? I mean, you look at my life, you know, and this. And, you know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, brother, and he's talking about life without Christ. He said, if this is it, if this is all there is to it, tomorrow morning when you get up and you're shaving and kicking the dog and fussing with the kids, and you say, if this is all there is to life, Paul said, you know what? He said, I'm a man most miserable if this is it. There's more to it. There's more to life than what most, if not all of us, are experiencing in life. Do you have all that God wants for you? And I'm going to tell you, first thing, listen, if you're not saved, that's the first thing. It's the greatest thing. But then after salvation, listen, most Christians, is what happens. Most people, they say, you know, I am lost and I need to get saved, and they get saved. And that's it. They don't go any farther. They think, well, it's all, you know, the old hippie saying from back in, I can give you my age now. Back in the hippie days, they talked about pie in the sky, all the pies in the sky. No, there's a lot of pie right down here. Huh? There's a lot of pie right down here. You know what happened to Israel? Israel just took one little piece of the pie. And God, they could have had the whole pie. They just took one piece. They could have had the whole pie. Listen, there's a lot more to Christianity than just getting saved. Man, that's just a starting point. But I'm going to tell you, if you're lost, that is the starting point. You just got to say, listen, I'm lost. I need to get saved. And get saved and see how God puts you on that path. And then your life's potential. Oh, listen, there's a lot more. Are you really fulfilling the purpose that God has for you? Is this my purpose in life? Whatever you see yourself as or do, maybe. Is this really my purpose? Or is it really like a stink bug life? Am I just like breathing air and taking up space? Or is there more to life than what I have? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.